Continuing PAX East 2012 coverage here with Just Press Start. I'm at the Gamebook Adventures booth, Tin Man Games, and our friend Neil Renison, who we haven't talked to in about a year, unfortunately. Neil, a lot of things have been going on for you guys in the past year. Why don't you fill people in?
Okay, so what have we been doing in the last year? Lots of things. So we've been releasing some new titles, which have been coming out. We've also been creating a version for Android. So one of the big things from PAX East last year that came out was the people come up to the stand and say, "Oh my God, you know, I love your stuff, but I've got a Droid phone," and we'd be like, and it was like 50 or 60% of the people coming up. So, you know, people were going away disappointed. So one of the things we did is we went back to Australia and basically got an Android version underway. You know, we're a small company, we don't have an awful lot of money, so we got some a bit of funding from Film Victoria, who help out local games companies. And they helped us through it. And so we've just announced our first Android release this weekend at PAX East, which is an Assassin in Orlando. It's on the Google Play right now. So
wonderful. And tell me about acquiring the Judge Dredd license. That was a big coup for you guys as well.
Yeah, so that was an amazing release. So I was in the UK, and I've got a lot of contacts there from the games industry that I've worked with over the years. And so I was tapping a few of them up, and one of them was a guy that worked on the role-playing game for Judge Dredd. And he said to me, "You know, I think Judge Dredd would make an excellent game of adventure." And I was like, "Yeah, you're right." So we went up and pitched to Rebellion, who owned the license, and showed them Game of Adventures, explained why it would be a perfect fit, and they were just like, "Yeah, well, this is brilliant. When can we start? You know, let's go for it." So it happened really quite quickly and easily. And so the writer of Judge Dredd is one of the writers from the role-playing game, from the Judge Dredd second edition role-playing game. One of the artists that we got is also one of the artists from the role-playing game too. So, you know, I've got kind of a good pedigree of people, because the thing with Judge Dredd is there are certain things that are very specific to the world and the universe. So we had to get that right.
Right, of course.
I mean, I know game books, I know how to write game books, but I needed somebody that knew the IP really well. So we had a really good team. So I'm currently editing that at the moment. I'm actually in my hotel room after the conference doing bits of work on it at the moment. So we're hoping to get that out a couple of months. So end of May, beginning of June, hopefully.
Wonderful. I know fans are going to be really looking forward to that, because you've got a very devoted following too, from what I understand.
Yeah. Our fans are quite are very keen for what we do, because you know there's not many other people doing stuff like what we're doing. So and that following keeps growing and growing and growing, which is great for us.
So for us 7 or 8 people out there who still don't have a smartphone of any kind, do we have any hope in the future?
Yeah, you do. In fact, on my MacBook Air over there, I have the very first working demo of an Assassin in Orlando for Mac, which it also works on PC. We have a PC version as well. So we'll be wheeling them out this year for desktop, which is another really exciting thing for us.
So. I'm so happy right now to hear this. I've been so jealous of Zesserox for the past year that he's been playing these. Steve and Tina have been playing these, friends of mine, and I want to, and I just can't get a smartphone right now. It's not in the card. So I'm so excited to hear this, Neil.
That's brilliant news, yeah.
So what else do you want fans to know right now? What do you want people to think when they think Tin Man Games and think Gamebook Adventures? How have you guys evolved, just even in the last year?
Okay, so, you know, one of our key strengths is our own IP. So we've got our own worlds that we build. We've just released our first sci-fi book. We've got a load of books coming up this year, which are not only set in our fantasy world, we're staying true to that, because that's what people love, but we're doing some other things. So, for example, we've got a game book written by some guys in France that is like H.P. Lovecraft inspired.
Nice.
We've got a series of game books that we're writing that is aimed solely at women. So supernatural romance. In fact, Mylin over there, she's one of the writers. She's got a team of writers that she's put together, and we've got a range of books coming out for that. And then one of the other big things that I'm personally involved in is I'm going out looking for licenses. So, you know, Judge Dredd's just the start, really. I want to try and get the attention of some of the bigger names out there and say to them, "Hey, we could make a game book out of this, and it would be awesome." So I can't divulge what those are, and I can quite happily say that we're are at contract stage on a number of them.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah, just watch this space over the next year. And I can give you a little hint that if you've ever been into game books over the last sort of 20 years, if you're a bit of an old school game book fan, some of the names you might recognize. So.
Oh, it's exciting stuff. So tell me about just how the company has... What have you learned in the past year? You have much bigger digs this time. You got a nicer setup than you did last. So tell me about just how the company has evolved, how you guys have evolved. What have you learned?
So I guess we've, when we first started this, we did it because we liked doing it. We wanted to bring this stuff out. And I think what's happened is we've actually found out that people really, really love what we do, and it's about getting the message out to as many people as possible that it exists.
Right.
Because that's the hardest thing, especially for an independent developer. You know, we look out there and there's all these big stands. They spend, tens of thousands of dollars creating these things. We don't have that kind of budget. So it's about managing our resources and being able to spend the money in the right places at the right time. And I think we're doing pretty well at that at the minute. We're at this point now, and me and my colleagues have been discussing this while we've been here in Boston, that we're just moving out of that small company into this medium-sized thing, and we've got lots coming up, and we've got to be very careful that we don't do too much too quickly.
Right.
But at the same time, we have to keep a momentum going, and we have to make sure that we're staying on track.
Controlled growth.
Yeah, and that's a very difficult thing, and a lot of companies fail at this hurdle. So we're very conscious of that, and I'm trying not to bite off more than I can chew. But we've got so many exciting things coming up this year and next year that I'm very positive that we'll still be here in quite a few years' time doing what we do. So.
Well, I definitely hope so. So when you do have a few off minutes here and there, when you do relax, what are you playing? What do you do to? What games are you into to relax? Or even for inspiration.
Yeah, so a lot of the games I play, because I don't have that much time, I've got a young family, I play a lot of iOS games, so I've got an iPad and I'll play a lot. I'm a bit of a retro gamer, so I like playing kind of old school shooters and stuff, like LlamaSoft games,
okay.
Like Grid Runner and things like that. I love that stuff. But I've also, inevitably, like everybody in the last 6 months, got sucked into Skyrim. Which for me, I love fantasy, so it's just an easy thing. And the amount of people that come up to me going, "Oh, wouldn't it be great if you could make a game book like Skyrim, like a complete sandbox open game?" And I'm just like, "Wow, do you realise how much editing would be needed for that?"
It'd be a million pages.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but that was a great game. So yeah.
So how's your show been going? What kind of response have you gotten from, have you had a lot of fans coming up to you and just saying, "We're so glad you're here," that kind of thing?
Yeah, we've had a great response. I mean, the Americans in particular are so enthusiastic for us. And, they're our biggest market. And, and we get such a great response. That's why we're here all the time. We've got a number of places we could go across the world to exhibit at. But we love PAX. We did PAX Prime as well last year. And so, we'll be back here again next year. We love it. And it's great. We had a lot of people come back that saw us last year who say, "Oh, wow, you've got a bigger stand this year, so things are going better. We've got a few more banners. It looks a bit prettier." And, so hopefully next year we'll aspire to be like some of these other guys. Maybe not Xbox 360 just yet, but...
Right. Maybe you can talk to Jay Stuckwich over at Twisted Pixel. He can tell you how he built that whole thing in his garage.
Right. Oh, really? Okay. That's fantastic.
I think the reason the Americans are so enthusiastic about it, I don't know if they had this in Europe when you guys were younger, the Choose Your Own Adventure, all those different types of books. So to have that nostalgia kind of thing with more adult-oriented stories available on an electronic device, I mean, that's the trifecta of nerddom right there. So I think that's why you've really hit that sweet spot with Americans.
Yeah, I mean, I think somebody from the UK, we're an easy sell because we basically say, do you ever remember reading Fighting Fantasy or Lone Wolf books, which were huge in the UK?
Right.
And they go, yeah. And we say, well, we're kind of like the modern equivalent of that. Whereas in America, Fighting Fantasy wasn't very big at all. So our in on that is, people come up to the stand and I say, "So did you ever read Choose Your Own Adventure books when you were younger?" They go, "Oh yeah, of course I did. They were brilliant." I said, "Do you like role-playing games?" They go, "Yeah, I love role-playing games." And you go, "Well, imagine if both of those two things got married, had children. We are the offspring of those two things." And then as soon as you show people, and as soon as the penny drops, they're suddenly so into it. Like, they're just like, oh, wow, this is really clever and amazing.
You know. And at a great price, too. You're not breaking the bank for excellent story, great gaming adventure, you know, a gaming mechanics, all right there at a good price and on a convenient to carry equipment.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, we have a few people that say we're a bit expensive, but they're people that look at us competing against Angry Birds. Like, and we're not we're not doing that, right? We're competing with books in a bookshop, really.
Exactly.
But we're off
role-playing.
And role-playing games. Yeah. Yeah. So $5, you know, it's nothing, really. It's a couple of cups of coffee, isn't
exactly.
it? So.
And again, a paperback, I think, goes for $7 or $8 at the very least now.
Right, and we have dice rolling, achievements, you
right.
know, we have loads of other stuff in there, so, yeah, so it's yeah, we like to think we're good value for money.
Well, Neil, it's great to see you again. We'd love to have you back on the show when you have more to announce, definitely. We'll make sure we work out the time differences better this time.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
So, best of luck with the rest of the show and continued success.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, Jeff.